First, I'm Sarah Kustak, along with Chris Broussard, Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Jenna, Nick, and Chris. How are you guys?
Good. I mean, it's supposed to be a big day. You got the three-piece suit on already?
You got to start the week right.
Is there a pocket watch? Is there a pocket watch to come out of there?
I like it. Good luck. So let's jump right into what happened last night. It was a lot of fun with the All-Star game. Team LeBron beating Team Giannis 178-164. Kevin Durant took home the MVP honor, scoring 31 points, grabbing 7 boards. It was his second time winning the award in his 10th All-Star game. Doug, how does winning the All-Star game MVP again enhance KD's legacy?
I don't. I think it cements his legacy. Like, he even won this for Team LeBron. I almost feel bad for KD. He's like, hey, I was the best player out there. Like, yeah, but that's Steph alley-oop. Was amazing to Giannis, right? Like, just the idea that even when Kevin Durant wins his second All-Star Game MVP, which I don't know how much that actually matters, but, you know, he continues to try and show himself as maybe the best basketball player on the planet. He does so for Team LeBron, and he does so in Steph Curry's city, and he does so kind of under the shadow of the fact that he's not, he feels like he doesn't get the due that he wants, and the more he tries, the more it feels like it almost backfired.
Nah, I hear you, because historically, this isn't East versus West. This is Team LeBron versus Team Giannis. So you're right. As far as how much it enhances his legacy, not at all. I mean, it's an all-star game MVP. You know, Tim Duncan never won it. Hakeem Olajuwon never won it. Larry Bird won it once. Steph Curry's never won it. So it doesn't impact your legacy going forward. It's a nice thing to have. He joins the list of multiple winners, and a lot of the most exciting players in league history have won it. So it's good for him in that regard. I think you agree that, look, his legacy, he's already a top 20 player all time, easily in my book. The question for him now is, can he crack that top 10? Can he maybe pass Larry Bird or LeBron James on that pantheon of all-time great small forwards? So that's really what he's pushing for. The thing with both of those guys, they both, Bird and LeBron, are like iconic, yes, for reasons beyond basketball, beyond what they did on the court. I mean, Bird, because he was white, let's just keep it real, and he was arguably the best player in the world for a stretch. LeBron, because of all he's done off the court, because he's been a superstar since he was 15. And even if Kevin Durant surpasses them on the court in terms of championships and things like that, he still may never be able to reach the iconic status. I really don't think he will that those guys.
Well, with that being, because he's won a regular season MVP. He's won, you know, 2 finals MVPs, now the 2 all-star MVPs, which I don't think carry nearly as much weight. But with that being said, you said he's solidified his legacy. What can enhance
it? No, I don't think he's solidified.
What can enhance it? What can get him that to the point where people think that he's taking a step of how we perceive him now?
I think it's interesting. I think in the short term, it would probably be going out on his own. And then, like, look, if you can win a title with the Knicks, like, that's the mountaintop that how many have tried to coaches,
you
GMs,
Mello, right,
presidents.
More coaching and legends.
Well, players,
Phil,
too, though.
Isaiah.
Phil's players, too,
Larry
though.
Larry Bryant.
But we go,
I say it's
where
legends go to die. I hate to say
it. It really is. Right. It's really kind of amazing. So if he does that, obviously that elevates him. But I do think historically, like, if he stayed in Golden State and they run off, they go on a run of 4, 5, 6 NBA titles, and he continues to play well and be the best player. Like, that's the thing that struck me last night, is it's a lot like the NBA Finals, where we come out of 2 straight NBA Finals where he's the MVP and he's guarded by LeBron, and in Game 3 he hits the big shot, and all the talk is about LeBron, or about the 73-win team that added him, or, yeah, but you needed to join that team, or about Steph Curry, how he doesn't play well early in the finals and then late in the finals, and who's actually more important. And I thought that last night kind of embodied that, where there's so much other talk, and he's sitting there making jump shots going like, hey, guys, I'm actually having a great year where I've played in every game this year, unlike most of these guys. And that's kind of, so he's caught in this, does he want the respect right now, or does he want to be one of those guys where we look back and go like, hey, man, Kevin Durant was a little bit better than I think we understand how good he is.
I have a plan for KD to enhance his great legacy.
Go. Lay it
and
out.
He's been known
we'll
to watch the
notes.
Show. So he may be watching.
Kevin?
Stay in Golden State. This is assuming they win the championship this year. Stay there one more year. Open up the new arena in San Francisco.
Yep.
win your fourth straight title. Now, that's easier said than done, but I'm putting it out there. Go for your fourth straight title. None of the guys he's compared to or that are ranked ahead of him have won four straight titles. Magic didn't do it, and he had Kareem and Worthy and all these great players. Michael didn't do it. LeBron obviously hasn't done it. Larry Bird, I mean, no one has done it. Tim Duncan didn't even repeat as champion. Bill Russell is the only player in history that, you know, led his team to four straight championships. So that, in a basketball sense, would separate KD from his contemporaries and even those before him. So you get four straight. Again, easier said than done. But this team, if they can stay together mentally, they're capable of doing it. Then you – now, I know financially things might have to work out. But then go to New York. And if you go there, if Kyrie goes this summer, you go there with AD goes this summer, whatever. If he goes to New York, and you said it, Doug, if you lead the Knicks to a championship, just like LeBron's championship in Cleveland meant more than the two in Miami, that would mean more than that one in Cleveland because it's Cleveland versus New York. I mean, you lead the Knicks to their first championship since 73.
I know.
And I think if he's there with Kyrie – and look, if they get the number one pick, it's not completely out of the question. They can have a big three of Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. I mean, if he could win a title in New York, you wouldn't be able to dog him about the 73-win team and all that. That would be humongous for his legacy.
I completely agree. I think that's the risky play, obviously, to do it. And it's kind of amazing on how we even look back on the 73-win team, if you think about it. Because that team was not as good as in terms of history. One, they were ahead of the curve in how they played analytically and playing small ball.
Right.
And the league has kind of come around to that. Additionally, if you go back and look, and it's the same now, half the teams were dumping games at the end of that season. And, like, look, they needed him as bad as he needed them. Steph's unbelievably talented and maybe the greatest shot maker we've ever seen because he goes right, left, off the catch, whatever. But his powers have been marginalized at times in NBA Finals. Klay Thompson, a guy, they needed him more than as much as he needed them.
Look, they've clearly needed him in the past two finals. And Steph, I think more so his health. I think he gets a bad rap in the finals. The first finals with Cleveland, Steph averaged 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, something like that.
You think Steph gets a bad rap?
Yeah, I thought Steph should have easily been the MVP. The last three games where those were the defining games, he would average like 28, 29 points. And he only averaged 23 that season. So he actually upped his production.
Well, the problem with there's a couple things. The problem with evaluating Steph solely based upon the stats offensively is, look, he's always been your weak link defensively, right?
Right.
Whereas it's really hard to make the argument that you're the best player on earth when you're the weakest link at the defensive end. And that's the truth about the Warriors, just hiding their ability to hide Steph Curry and their ability to play through turnovers is part of what's made this an amazing, amazing run at the defensive end. But look, I think Kevin Durant, he thought to himself, forget about up 3-1, down 3-1, or any of that stuff. I'm sure he thought, man, if I just had the space to have a guy, only one guy guarding
me. No, you're right.
Because they used
you're
to put
right.
whoever was guarding Steven Adams and Andre Robertson, it used to be a two-man zone, and I got to go 1-on-2, and I look selfish, but if I don't take these shots, we can't. If I just had the space, and you know what? Over the last 2 years, he's had the space, and he's been the better player in the second half against LeBron James, and no one seems to mention
it. He liked the way they play. And look, KD thinks he's better than LeBron, and that's not new. That's not since joining Golden State. He has thought that, and he wants everybody else to see that. So, like you said, go to New York, go to the Clippers with Kawhi.
Well, if you went with the Clippers, that's even greater than winning with New York.
You think so?
It's the Clippers.
New York
would be made bigger. But the Clippers would be more
impressive. We're digging into
it's the Clippers.
This a lot more later. Stop. Time now for Put a Grade On. It's sponsored by CarMax. Hamidou Diallo won the dunk contest Saturday night with his leap over Shaq, highlighting his performance. Doug, put a grade on Diallo's dunk over Shaq.
Oh. And not like O in my kids' school where they don't give grades anymore. What the hell happened to just A, B, C, or D, you know, right? Or F. O for overrated. He did not jump over Shaq. Look, I used to be able to dunk, and I could never put myself in that rare air. But if we're judging on all-time greats, he pushes off the back of Shaquille O'Neal. He pushes off the back of his neck to jump over him, and then he copies the dunk of Vince Carter. So there's no inventiveness there. Right. And he didn't clearly jump over Shaquille O'Neal. He used his hand to push himself over the top, not in front, but in back.
Now, first of all, do they give O's at your church? O's? That's worse than an A, B.
This explains a lot.
That's worse than a D.
This explains a lot.
So they're calling kids overrated?
No, they have. It's outstanding. I think it's actually like
always outstanding.
Yeah, or it's like above grade level, at grade level.
Okay, I just want this. They're not overrating kids, right? That's
awesome, though, right?
Little dog, you're overrated.
Oh, that'd be.
Chris, what's your grade?
I'm going to give it a B+. I agree with you. He definitely pushed off Shaq's shoulder, or I don't know if it was just leverage or whatever. I thought the elbow in the rim, you're right, Vince Carter did it. But
no,
Vince Carter
awesome.
Didn't jump over a player and do it. So I thought that enhanced the dunk. If he hadn't put the elbow in the rim, I might have gone B. You're right. It's a little overrated. Everybody's going crazy about it. It's nice he jumped over Shaq, you know, but... Like you said, he pushed off.
I thought it was great. I'm going A-. He barely touched Shaq. It wasn't like a hard push off. It was just a point.
This was not Vince Carter going over Frederick Weiss.
No, but there is no Vince Carter. Again, I mean,
greatest dunker of all time, right?
A-plus.
Greatest game dunker, no question.
Without a doubt.
Practice dunker, game dunker,
everything.
Yes, he's the best dunker.
Aaron Gordon put on a show.
Yes, over the rotating mascot. That was
dunk contest.
That was fun. All right, coming up, Antonio Brown has some harsh words for Big Ben. That's next on FS1, and you can always check us out on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM. We'll be right back. We'll get to Antonio Brown in a second, but first, last night's All-Star Game, Giannis slams home the bounce pass lob from Steph Curry. That was insane.
The pass is amazing.
Look at that.
Yeah. Now, if he would have caught that at the top of the backboard, but he was smartly waited till it was on his way down. But that was great. That was true. That was the play of the game, obviously.
Yeah.
Without question.
You had to watch the whole game to say it was a play of the game. I did not watch the whole game.
I actually enjoyed it. This is the first one I've enjoyed since 2013.
I agree. In the end, it was fun. The comeback. And this was sweet, too. Paul George, 360 opposite way.
I like Paul George when he shot the step back over James Harden.
You know they took 167 threes. Was that it?
Ooh.
Yeah.
167.
Look, there's no doubt they have an amazing talent. This is what LeBron
One
off
last
the back.
Dance.
Yeah, it was like a showcase.
Dwayne Wade to LeBron connecting for the last time.
My son watching the game. Why don't they play hard? Why don't they play defense? Like
I think at the last 2 or 3 minutes they kind of got
I thought it was competitive.
Really
a lot of offense, but moving on to the NFL. Antonio Brown has already soured his relationship with the Steelers, but found a way to make matters worse over the weekend. He was fielding questions on Twitter, and when asked about his conflict with Ben Roethlisberger, Brown responded, "No conflict, just a matter of respect, mutual respect. He has an owner mentality, like he can call out anyone, including coaches. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, their meal ticket is gone. It's a dirty game within a game. Hashtag truth." Chris, how much is Big Ben to blame for the Antonio Brown situation?
I don't think Antonio made this worse. I think he told the truth. This is his main issue. I've talked to somebody who talks with Antonio. This is his main issue. Now, I'm not resolving Antonio Brown of blame. He's obviously a diva. He's obviously immature in many ways. He's obviously got some legal issues coming up that could potentially, you know, keep him out of some games. And no matter what your situation is with the team or a teammate, you have to play that final game. That was essentially a playoff game for the Steelers. For you to go AWOL that week of practice, you can't, there's no getting over that, okay? So Antonio is the number one person to blame for this situation. However, Big Ben plays a big role in this. Antonio's main problem with the Steelers is Big Ben or their refusal to kind of hold him accountable. And Big Ben, okay, he called out Ben on Twitter this weekend. How many times has Ben called out Antonio and other teammates over the past few seasons? So I actually think, maybe I'm overstating it, I think Ben could go a long way in resolving this issue and keeping Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. If he would reach out to him, now maybe Antonio wouldn't respond initially, but if he reaches out to him and apologizes and talks to him man to man, because clearly Ben loves Antonio as a receiver. Like, I think he really wants him on the team.
Yeah, he wouldn't throw to him 150, 160 times in the season. if he didn't respect his talent.
I think it's just Ben's personality. And obviously, he's the face of the team and their most important player. But he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not carrying him on his back.
No, no. Look, does he deserve a portion of the blame? The answer is absolutely. And you do your own local radio show, and it's not fluff. And he will say some things. Eli does the same thing in New York at times. He's called out Odell Beckham Jr. before. But let's go back. You started the story by saying he answered questions on Twitter. Whoa!
Yeah.
Not the best way to get your message out. And you can say...
That's how he announced he wanted to be traded.
This is how you can say, well, it's, you know, this is what it's about. Look, he also called out his coach. He also liked an Instagram message calling Ben Roethlisberger a rapist. Like, look, he's gone to places that you can't go. You can't no-show on your team. You can't go into legal troubles of what a guy had off the football field, especially considering, yes, has Ben Roethlisberger said some negative things about he didn't like playing for Todd Haley and he hasn't liked the other guys that, and he hasn't hidden that fact. Does he deserve some of the blame? Sure. But Ben never talked about his legal troubles. He never talked about his contract. He didn't talk about his life. He didn't even call him out really for no showing on the team. Ben's actually taken mostly the high road this particular thing. So, you know, could he go down and break bread? Sure. Could Tomlin go hat in hand and break bread with him? Yes. But Antonio Brown is the one who at first needs to make the phone call and apologize. Hasn't done so to everyone involved.
He needs to apologize to Ben.
I know he hasn't. He hasn't done to my Tom Lyons.
He doesn't need to.
Should he apologize to Ben?
Dude, sorry.
He needs to tell the whole team.
Well, yes, apologize
to the team.
Yes, but just to Ben. Hey, look, this is your team. This is your offense. My bad for overreacting week 17 of the season.
I don't know.
He's okay.
You don't know?
I don't think he needs to go to Ben like that.
Why?
This is your team.
It is his team.
That's
the way it works in football.
Ben is not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Look at his performance in their two Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
He will be a Hall of Famer.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
But if you look at his
two Super Bowls. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he is.
Look, his first Super Bowl win, he had the lowest quarterback rate.
Antoine Randle
the best pass in that Super Bowl.
I don't think he needs to apologize.
He's been the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers for more than a decade. They've won more than they've lost. It'll be really difficult to replace. Like, it's hard to find another guy like that.
Right.
They'll find another wide receiver.
Brown is supposed to meet with Art Rooney, though, later this week. What do you expect out of that meeting? What do you think needs to happen? Do you think the Steelers should want to rectify the situation?
I think they should, because you're probably not going to get a first-round pick for Antonio. So unless you can do that, you're not getting close to equal value.
And that, what does that say about who the league thinks is to blame?
Well, and I know also his age. He'll be 31.
But
that's part of it, too.
Yes.
But
he was still the best wide receiver, or one of the two or three best wide receivers in football last year, right? Is he 30 for 30 for a wide receiver is not 30 for a running back. And he
but it's not 30 for a quarterback.
No,
either.
And he hasn't. But he hasn't lost a step to this point. The only reason that they wouldn't move on from him is the cap hit. That's it.
That's gonna be worked out because of the money they'll save from his contract.
In the real money, but you also have to replace him as well.
I think it'll be because they can't get a first round pick for him. And, you know, like you said, he's got a reputation. And he's the main one to blame in this situation.
Yes.
I'm just saying Ben is not blameless. He has something to do with it too. And what's wrong with sitting down with somebody man to man that you claim to like? And hearing him out. He doesn't think Ben treats him with respect. And that's what men want from another man, respect. You don't have to like me, but respect me. And if Ben Roethlisberger can't sit down with a teammate and do that, then shame on him.
But airing out your grievances on social
Twitter,
media.
Rather than
Twitter. That's fine. I said he's immature. Huh? But Ben airs him out on the radio. What's the difference?
Because he's on an actual radio show. He's
radio, not, he's social not, he's, media, he's, it doesn't matter.
It does
it's
matter.
The same thing.
No, it doesn't.
We
it
view
does.
Social media as more immature, but why?
Yeah, but he has never come out and said, Antonio Brown, there's no respect there. He's not called.
Well, he's not said that.
No.
Because I think Antonio respects Ben.
If he did, then he would have placed a phone call. He wouldn't be airing their grievances on social media. Like, we all have each other's cell phone number. If I get into beef with you or I say something that comes across wrong today, I'm going to text you afterwards. Why?
There's a great chance that'll happen.
Right? There's a chance that'll happen. Actually happen. That's going to happen soon as we break.
In the break. And we're going to bounce to another player requesting a trade coming up. Is Anthony Davis opening the door to joining the Celtics? That's next on First Things First. Viral. Dirk Nowitzki took part in his 14th and likely final All-Star game yesterday with a veteran, using the weekend to work on communicating with his teammate Luka Doncic. Check them out trying to read each other's lips while they were wearing noise-canceling headphones.
Mike Krzyzewski. Mushrooms something. This is why we play. Bole bole. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Ha! Alley-oop. Alley-oop. Ha! Double dribble.
Double double?
Close.
Woo!
I'm a little teapot. Say that again. Ham and cheese sandwich.
How much time I need? No?
I am a little teapot. I'm
teapot.
I'm licking a teapot. Uptown funk you up.
Up in front.
Baby shark. Baby shack. Baby shark.
Shark.
Ah, baby shark.
That's actually much better than you often see guys do. We
yes,
see a lot of
did.
NBA
well,
arenas.
Yes, and English, not their native language, too, which is always embarrassing to me, right? They speak better English than I do growing up. In the
I love it. And they nailed Giannis Antetokounmpo.
They did.
That was great.
It's not
that
an easy
good.
One.
And they didn't say Giannis, right? They didn't say Giannis.
Giannis. Giannis. He did it right.
Time for some stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. Team LeBron beat Team Giannis in last night's All-Star game, 178-164. Kevin Durant took home the MVP honor, scoring 31 points, grabbing 7 boards. Chris, what did you think of the All-Star game?
I actually really enjoyed it, and I haven't enjoyed the All-Star game really since like 2013 when they began shooting so many three-pointers. But I guess I've gotten used to that, and it's become a showcase for just tremendous dunks, you know, off the glass and 360s and the three-point shooters. Maybe they're hitting a higher percentage now. But I thought it was a good game. I enjoyed it. I thought at first LeBron had the cool kids who, you know, weren't going to play hard, and Giannis's guys were like, we want to win. But obviously LeBron's team came back in the end, and he just had the better team.
Yeah, well, then that gives into the GM LeBron thing, right? Well, if you just make him GM of the Lakers, then all these problems would be solved.
He got you a title
in Cleveland as a GM.
I don't love it. I love basketball. I think basketball's in a great place. I think these guys have more collective talent than any group we've ever had. I really believe that. I don't think this is a great representation of it.
Have you ever enjoyed it, though? Did you enjoy it back in the day?
I mean, I did, but
Dr. J.
Yeah, I mean, last time I really watched an All-Star game was Magic Johnson came out of retirement
92.
And hit that shot. I mean, look, they're freak talents, but there's no defense. It's not real ball.
Right. Like, we used to get excited when Isaiah would dribble behind the back and between his legs.
I thought
all
it was
the time.
Fun. And
those were
fun
great.
Stuff.
But
and
they're
fun
doing
interactions
this all the time.
With teammates.
Yeah, they also play against each other all the time.
All right, let's go back to Saturday night. Hamidou Diallo won the dunk contest. It was highlighted by this, his leap over Shaquille O'Neal. Doug, what did you think of the dunk contest?
I thought it was good. I mean, you know, it's interesting. We look back historically, and there's been so many incarnations of it. People forget that they canceled it for a year, and then there was a lockout year as well. I don't know if they canceled because Brent Berry won the dunk contest, right? Like, white guy wins and you shut it down.
He went from the foul line.
Actually, Kobe then won the next year, then they shut it down. But, I thought it was good. I think we're going a little crazy on the Diallo dunk just because he used his hand and pushed off the Shaq. I didn't like the Kitty Hawk one. I thought that was a
John
bit much.
John Collins, yeah.
John Collins.
Right.
It was good. Every time I think I've seen every dunk that I could ever see, I do find a new one. But You need the superstars to be in this thing. Like,
unless somebody just does something spectacular. Like Zach LaVine, you didn't need the superstars. Aaron Gordon, you didn't need it. But that happens every few years. You know, then there's those where you don't have the big names, and they're good dunkers, but they're not historic type dunkers. And that's when it's not as good. I thought this was fine. I actually think you could argue Dennis Smith Jr. was the best dunker. He just missed too many.
He missed a lot.
Well, that's the other thing is forget how few some of those guys used to miss back in the day.
Right.
In the dunk
contest.
All right, so the 3-point contest and Joe Harris beating hometown hero Steph Curry. Afterwards, Harris said beating Curry was a surreal experience. Chris, how shocking was this upset to you?
Were you shocked by what you saw?
I don't know if I'll be shocked by anything in the 3-point shootout, because obviously they're all good and it's not that big of a deal. Doesn't mean Joe Harris is a better 3-point shooter than Steph. But it was nice to see, you know, Harris, look, he's had a nice little year. Obviously, Brooklyn is really playing great basketball, and he's a part of that.
Because they shoot the three so well.
Yeah, right. So it's good to see him get rewarded. I remember when Tim Legler, you know, former colleague at the other place, won it in 96 in San Antonio. So this reminded me of that.
Was it shocking? No, it was the most Virginia basketball thing ever, right? Guy comes in with his big old beard, doesn't even smile, makes a bunch of jump shots, takes the trophy, and walks out the door. It was like, we're like, really, Joe Harris is going to win this thing? Like, yeah, Joe Harris is going to win this thing.
He's shooting 47% on the year.
It's really, I mean, the guy can really shoot the ball. Like, that's all three of these guys. I mean, Buddy Hield, of course. And it's also interesting on how it's become a bigger part of the weekend because it's a bigger part of the sport.
Right.
Fun to watch. Finally, Jason Tatum won the NBA skills competition Saturday night. But according to Tatum, it's not the only piece of hardware he's taken home this season. Tatum said the Celtics will win the finals this year. It's, of course, been an up and down season for Boston, who currently is fourth in the East with a record of 37-21. Doug, what is the ceiling for the Celtics this season?
Michael Jordan said the ceiling is the roof, right? I think the ceiling is an NBA championship. Now, look, it's been disjointed, right? They've between the backcourt and who gets minutes and who starts, and the front court and Gordon Hayward, until maybe the last three games before the All-Star break, looking like a shell of his former self. Jason Tatum getting more touches, getting more shots when Kyrie doesn't play. But then Kyrie, I do think one of the things missed was he was playing the best basketball of his life before.
And they won. They were 6-1 in those games.
They were rolling.
So it's not like they were struggling.
Yeah, he was scoring. He was passing. He was playing better defense. This is a team, though, that's built to take down the Warriors, right? They got hybrid defensive players. They got a stretch five. They got a big five. Like, this is a team that, if they're right, they could challenge for the entire thing. They just haven't been right in terms of their chemistry and working together, and their health has been an issue.
I'm with you in that. I would say a ceiling is the championship. Now, obviously, Golden State's the heavy favorite, and they should be, and I think they will win it. What I'm saying is I think Boston has as good a chance as any other team in the NBA to win the championship. The East, we're going to talk about this later, but the best thing is we don't know who's the best team. I don't pay attention at all to their fourth seed. I don't care about that. Boston is capable of winning the Eastern Conference. And what I like about Jason Tatum's statement is that it shows that he's, like, putting it out there publicly. Like, look, everybody knows about our differences between kind of the young guard and Kyrie. But that's not going to stop us from getting where we want to go. Like, I think it exudes that type of confidence and tells everybody, look, we can get past this. What I didn't like is he's being too definitive for a team that's not going to win the championship because it's going to be Golden State. He should have been more like, we're going to keep our, you know, we're going to make this run, you know, at getting to the finals or make this run at winning an NBA championship. That would have showed confidence as well without being so definitive.
Well, I mean, look, I'm sure that I don't think there's any athlete there that doesn't think if I had the right guys around me, we can't win a championship, right?
We're not right guys around you.
They went to
do you think your team right now, do you think LeBron thinks the Lakers are going to win the championship?
No, but I think he thinks they're a little bit better. And if you ask LeBron, I bet he would say, well, I don't know.
Well, he's been asked, and he said, hey, it takes time. We're building. We're just trying to get better every day. Like, I don't think many of players would come out and say, we're going to win. I don't think Damian Lillard from Portland is coming out and saying,
Damian Lillard wasn't in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7 last year and missed all those threes without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
The East was much weaker last year.
I understand, but I'm saying in the mind of Jason Tatum, like, look, we make a shot, you know, in the third quarter. We make
we
any
shot. We were one game away. From,
And we didn't even have Kyrie. Like, it's, I don't think it's crazy talk. And I don't think the Golden State Warriors are nearly as good as they've been. Right? Like, I don't. I'm not convinced that DeMarcus
Cousins has helped.
He's helped somebody's hurt themselves.
But I think
right?
you can like, look at any of these teams in the East, and their depth is a factor. Like Boston
yes.
believes in their depth.
Well,
believes
Milwaukee
in their bench,
has
believes
depth.
In where.
Yes. Toronto has
exactly.
depth.
So how much do you think Boston? So you can make a case for any of these top four teams in the East to get to the NBA Finals. How much do you think, for example, with a team like Boston, it's going to depend on the matchup? If they come in third or fourth, if they're playing Milwaukee or Toronto.
Well, obviously they match up really well with the 76ers. They nearly lost to Milwaukee Bucks last year, right? Like, lost in the hole, they were better.
Nearly as good.
No, and Milwaukee is better, and they've done a great job in their front office. I mean, the Brook Lopez acquisition, opening up the lane with a stretch five.
And getting Mirotić.
And getting Mirotić then late. Also, more shooting has been great. We'll see how it works out in the playoffs. And I agree with you, Sarah. I mean, you cover this league on a daily basis. You know, the 76ers had a really good bench. And now they have no bet. They have gone all in, but it's basically four starters and J.J. Redick, and then that's kind of it. So I don't know how that works out over a long playoff run as well. I just don't think it's crazy for Jason Tatum to go like, yeah, we can win the whole thing.
Now, he didn't say we can. He said we will.
See, I don't
that's
think
that's different. That's all I'm saying.
To me,
he's also been in the league.
If LeBron came out and said that would be the number with the lead story on every show. What is he talking about? He's going to win the championship, you know? So, I'm not mad at Jason Tatum. I just think it was a reckless thing to say.
He's also
say
like 15,
we can.
But he didn't say,
say
like.
Say we're going to get on this run and do our best to win a championship.
He didn't do fo-fo-fo now. He didn't do like, we're going to beat the Celtics
they
in
said we're going to
beat
the
Rockets in
bow.
We're going to beat the, huh?
He said we're going to win the championship.
Yeah, why not?
I like it. I like it.
We
don't know
bit.
How the question was posed either. All right,
I don't know if y'all like it if enough.
Move on to another saga of Anthony Davis. He'll remain on the Pelicans for the rest of the year after not being moved at the deadline. However, all eyes are on where he will play next season and if he would commit to that team long term. Davis spent the weekend answering where he wants to play. Take a listen to what he said.
Somebody had told me that you had mentioned maybe the Celtics being on that list. I just wanted to clarify. Are they on the list or not on the list?
29 of the teams are on my list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win. You know, they ask me big market, small market. I don't care. You know, I want to win. You know, and obviously whatever team, you know, I get traded to, you know, play for it that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. But just make the best of it. And then, you know, when free agency come, see what happens. You know, I can't tell the future, but all 29 teams are on the list.
So just to follow real quick, so people who had reported it's the Lakers and then it's the Knicks.
I never gave a destination.
The man
Anthony
whose
Davis
voice it is, Anthony
never
Davis.
Gave a destination where he wants to play. Okay.
Chris, how will this AD situation play out?
Let me give AD some credit because everybody's talked about, oh, he's so uncomfortable with this. He's such a nice guy. You know, he's not happy with this situation. Or, you know, he's uncomfortable because this is not his style. He handled it really well over the weekend. I thought he appeared very comfortable. He, you know, he did a good job. Now, how do I think it plays out? I think he will. It obviously could be the Lakers, the Knicks, or the Celtics that he gets traded to. With Boston, there are people close to him that have been saying he will not sign in Boston, whether it's his dad or other people saying he won't sign there. For him to come out, I'm going to take him at his word. If he's coming out and saying Boston is on the list, Boston is a potential destination, not only next year, but long term, then I think he likely ends up in Boston. I think it all depends on Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie Irving re-signs with the Celtics, then I think Danny Ainge goes all in. He won't offer Jason Tatum initially.
Right.
But if it has to be Jason Tatum, then I think Jason Tatum will be on that block, and assuming they don't win the championship. And AD will go to Boston. If Kyrie leaves and goes to New York or somewhere else, I would not give up the farm for Anthony Davis if I'm Danny Ainge. I would not give up Jason Tatum without Kyrie Irving locked up.
No question.
If I was Danny Ainge. But I don't know if Danny will do that. Well, I think he may go all in on Kyrie.
Which is why I think the Pelicans and Del Demps, their former general manager, who was, by the way, fired Friday.
Yeah.
Right? Like kind of a Friday news dump story before a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're firing Del Demps. We'll see you after the All-Star break. I think if the reported deal which was offered, which I was told was not what the reported deal was for the Lakers.
What it was. It was like, look, you can have two or three of these guys.
Correct.
Like, we're giving you six guys.
They're not offering all of them first-round picks and cap relief. Right. Like, that wasn't happening. Regardless of which, there's so many ifs there for the Pelicans. Like, you don't know what the potential for the Celtics want Anthony Davis? Yeah, I know for a fact they want him, and they would make that move today if the contracts situation wasn't for the Derrick Rose rule, right? Are the Knicks going to want him? Yeah, but, okay, what happens if the Knicks don't get Kyrie and they get Kemba, but they don't get KD, and they don't get the number one pick? Like, then does he want to go there? I just love the Frank Pantangeli moment. You guys remember Godfather 2?
No,
Frank Pantangeli goes states. He
name.
Goes. Frank Pantangeli goes states, right? So he goes before before the grand jury, and he's supposed to out Michael Corleone as a gangster. And he sits down there. And he goes, "Oh, Michael Corleone! No! You guys got it all wrong. We're all friends. Like all the business. We go back years. That's what Anthony Davis did. Anthony Davis sits down there and goes, like, they have massively butchered this thing, right? Between asking for a trade, demanding a trade, and then, of course, the dad comes out.
Who are you saying has butchered this? Anthony Davis
Anthony
and
Davis
his people?
Anthony Davis' camp. Rich Paul. They butchered this thing. They got nervous. They got tight. They wanted to make some ridiculous deal, which would have shed the Lakers of all their assets. So they demand a trade. Then the dad comes out and says, you know, what Boston did to Isaiah Thomas, I'm never sent. My son's never going there. And then, of course, you go back to the last game of the before the All-Star break. Remember, Anthony Davis hurts his shoulder so badly he has to go get an MRI, and then he leaves the arena with Rich Paul, and suddenly he's healthy again playing in the All-Star game. Like, they have massively butchered this thing. So he gets up there, and clearly they had gotten to him and said, like, dude, you just say you'll go anywhere, they'll win. And so he had a Frank Pantangeli moment. He's like, no, you got it all wrong. I'll play for the Celtics.
So
I'll play for the Jazz.
You don't think
I'll play for the Clippers.
Turn for Boston. You think this is just hard?
No, I think that was all rhetoric to try and make them, strong-arm them into sending to L.A. He, you know, like, look, remember when Kevin Garnett didn't want to play in Boston because Boston was a racist sports town?
Right.
And he goes there and wins a championship, and now he's a beloved former member. Like, a lot of people say stupid things about an organization before they've ever worked there.
Well, that's why Danny Ainge, and he should, has the utmost confidence that if I get you in Boston for a year, I'm going to convince you to stay. Number one, they're going to be a very good team.
Right.
Number two, we clearly know how to win championships. We got a great front office, a great coach, great talent around you, even if we do have to trade off a lot of our assets. So he believes confidently he can keep him, but I wouldn't give up the farm if Kyrie's not there.
No.
I give up something.
You and I agree. Right. And this is really important to mention. We start with Jason Tatum, and now we're talking about the Celtics and Anthony Davis. And the reason that they're confident is not just because they have Brad Stevens, and not just because they've done this before, putting the super team together and winning before. It's because when they got Kyrie Irving, he raved about the professionalism. You know, they got a brand new facility, and all these guys are complete professionals. And when you're Anthony Davis and you've been in New Orleans, they know if they can get him into that building, he'll be like, wow, wait, this is what a real organization's like.
Right.
You got trader Danny Ainge, who's crushed the world with his trades. You got a professional coach. You got a great organization. You got leaders like Al Horford who say and do the right things every day. They think he'll be all in because all we got to do is get him in our building. It's like getting a kid on a recruiting visit. Once you get him there, the rest takes care of itself.
Quickly, do you also only think it's one of three spots, though? Lakers, Celtics, or Knicks? Do you agree with Chris on that?
I do. The Clippers are the one out, the one outlier because everyone seems to think they're getting Kawhi Leonard. And you get Kawhi, and you're coached by a guy who's won a championship, and the organization's run, in some sense, by Jerry West. Yeah. Like, it's still the Clippers, but it's a pretty strong fourth team to add to that.
All right, coming up, did KD enhance his legacy this weekend? That is ahead on First Things First. Welcome back to First Things First. things first, former NFL general manager Mike Tannenbaum joins us. Mike, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You said we needed to class up the table a little bit here.
Well, the great thing is, like, you've been both sides of negotiation, right? GM and of course, and president with most recently with the Dolphins, but also doing the agent thing as well. So, you know, like, both sides of it.
Yeah, I've had a little experience on both sides.
You also know the NBA, too, so be careful.
We may keep you around.
Just enough to be dangerous.
We will talk NFL draft right now. All the focus is on Kyler Murray and where he will be selected. One former NFL scout said the Cardinals should draft the Heisman Trophy winner first overall. And back when he was coaching Texas Tech, Arizona's coach Cliff Kingsbury said he would take Murray number one. Mike, are you buying that Kyler Murray is going to be a future star in the NFL?
You know, Sarah, what we have right now is he has a great opportunity. If we were sitting here a year ago, guys, Baker Mayfield was not the first pick in the draft. And he has a great opportunity heading into the offseason with the combine next week, then the pro days. And right now he's off to a great start. He already said, hey, I'm putting baseball behind me. And now he's going to have to go answer a lot of questions. You know, his size, his play style. But he's off to a good start. He had 54 touchdowns last year. He's a dynamic player, and he has a great opportunity. And the next few months will tell the tale of where he'll go. And to Mayfield's credit, he can look at his teammate. Baker Mayfield went from probably somewhere in the mid-second round to the first pick overall.
Okay, but he's tiny. Like, he's 5'9 and three quarters, and he does run a lot. Look, he throws it. He's an incredible thrower from the pocket. He's a legend in Texas high school football, right? Never lost a game once he became a starter. But he's tiny, and he runs around a lot. Tell me how a guy, you know, running quarterbacks always get hit and get hurt, and small quarterbacks, we're talking about Baker Mayfield, who's roughly 6 feet tall. He's two and a half inches shorter than Baker Mayfield. How would you alleviate those concerns for the team that drafts him?
Yeah, well, first of all, you got to go back to last year and look how productive he was. And you go back to the Alabama game, you know, didn't start off very well, guys, but played really well in the second half. So that shows competitiveness. That shows resiliency. And if you draft him, you have to have a plan for him. And if we go back a year ago, look, Baker wasn't starting, right? They had Tyrod Taylor in Cleveland. You look at the Jets, you know, they had Josh McCown. So you could draft someone like Kyler, have a plan for him. Maybe it's starting off 15, 20 plays a game. Pair him with a veteran, and that's really like the best case scenario. You go back to Kansas City, right? They draft Patrick Mahomes, but he doesn't play for a first year. They have Alex Smith, so you could draft someone like Kyler in the first round, have a plan, get him into your offense. Again, maybe 15, 20 plays a game, and maybe have another veteran quarterback, and that's what we saw last year in the league, where a number of these first-round quarterbacks were paired with a veteran.
Mike, you sound like an agent, so I'm going to make my case why I think Kyler can be a star. Tell me if I'm off. First, he's this much shorter than Russell Wilson.
That's right.
I don't know that this much, he's about an inch, is going to make that much of a difference. Secondly, it's what, almost 70% of the NFL plays last year were in the shotgun, which nullifies the problem with the height. We know the RPOs now, the offenses are more college style. I think that'll work for him. You know, not being able to land on quarterbacks. I mean, you can't get as physical and rough with quarterbacks as you used to. So I think the league now is more tailor-made for a smaller quarterback than it's ever been. And even 20 years ago when it wasn't tailor-made for small quarterbacks, Doug Flutie, he wasn't some spectacular player, but he did make a Pro Bowl.
Right.
So I think Murray can have success. Am I off?
I agree. And again, Chris, you go back to that game against Alabama in the Orange Bowl. Right. That defense is filled with pro players. He can make all the throws, and you just need to have a vision with the offensive coordinator, the head coach, the front office. Like, what's the offense you're going to run? Are you going to put him in position to be successful? The height is going to be an issue, but you're right. The style of play that we're seeing in the NFL, the way the game is evolving, you certainly can put him in a position to be successful, to play his strengths. Again, the size is going to be a question, though, because would you say he's built to last looking at his frame? As you mentioned, Doug, that's a concern. But again, playing to his strengths, this guy could be a very good NFL player.
He did get ragdolled a little bit in that Alabama game. You know, how much does he weigh is a big issue. But Doug Flutie's a name. Like Mike Vick's legs with Doug Flutie's type of quarterback play. Right. That's really kind of what you get with the two. How important is hand size? You mentioned Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson, if you ever met him, long arms, big hands as well. And even though he's incredible at setting his feet, he's more of a thrower. I'm not saying Kyler can't throw and read a defense, but it's first decision at line of scrimmage. If not, he's running the football. They're different quarterbacks than he and Russell Wilson.
But Doug, just going back to that point about reading defenses, he's going to have a great opportunity over the next 3 months. He's going to be poked and prodded. He's going to talk to a lot of these teams. He's going to go on these private visits. He's going to have a pro day. He's going to have a great opportunity to answer those questions. And he's already off to a good start because he's already saying that he's focusing on football.
If I can ask a question. Okay, Eric, we heard Bucky Brooks said Arizona should, I guess, trade Josh Rosen and go ahead and draft Kyler Murray. How bad does that make the GM look if he, you know, you just drafted this guy last with the 10th pick last year?
Hey, you blew it. You blew it last year.
Now, he did that with the coach.
Right.
You know, Steve, he admitted after 1 year this was the wrong guy. I think you can do that. As long as you get the right guy, go get him. But does that make the GM really look bad if he does that?
Well, again, Chris, at the end of the day, you're not, like, in this for looks. You're in here to win games. And you have to stand shoulder to shoulder, you know, with your head coach. And you have to sit there with Cliff Kingsbury, who has a great track record with quarterback development, and say, hey, you know, here's what we have with Josh Rosen. If we make the decision collectively to go with Kyler Murray, what does that look like? And then you say, hey, what can we get for Rosen? And from an organization standpoint, what's best for us? So, you know, they're going to have a long time now to evaluate Rosen. You know, as a first-time NFL head coach, you're going to have an extra mini camp that you could have before the draft. That's another time that you could evaluate Rosen. So you have a lot of time to get all the information to make the best decision for the Cardinals.
Like Baltimore tailoring what they do around Lamar Jackson. You talked about putting Kyler in the best position to succeed. How much would a team need to, whether it's changing the roster, personnel, schematically, to make sure that it fits how Murray plays?
Yeah, Sarah, that's a great point. And obviously with the Flacco trade now, they have even more time to invest in, you know, Lamar and making sure that he's successful. And you can see some of the quotes from, you know, Coach Harbaugh that, you know, Lamar is the future of our team. You know, to me, the other question is, what does the backup look like? Is it a similar skill set or is it a different one? You know, working with Rex Ryan, he always talked about looking through the lens of a defensive head coach that if your quarterbacks were a little different, that put a lot of pressure on the opposition in terms of preparation time. So not only are you trying to, you know, prepare to defend Lamar Jackson, but what does the backup look like as well?
All right, Mike, thanks so much for being here with us. We're going to see you a little bit later in the show, but first coming up, any chance that AB and the Steelers can reconcile? That is next on First Things First. First Things First, and we are going viral. Hamidou Diallo won the dunk contest Saturday night with this leap over Shaq, highlighting his performance. But this isn't the first time we've seen this dunk, with footage of Diallo doing the same dunk back in high school. However, he finished in second place to some guy named Zion Williamson. And here is what Zion did to take home the heart
of Can't wait to see him in the dunk contest next
year. He and John Moran.
Goodness gracious.
Right. Listen, Matt McClung shouldn't go one and done for Georgetown, but the three of them in the dunk contest would be a lot of fun.
McClung is athletic.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
a nice bouncy.
Yeah.
Bouncy.
Yeah. All right, back to the Steelers. And Antonio Brown has already soured his relationship with Pittsburgh, but found a way to make matters worse over the weekend. When asked if there was any chance he could stay with the Steelers, he responded on Twitter, "Love Steelers Nation, everything to my heart, no more." Now AB and Steelers owner Art Rooney will meet later this week. Doug, is there any chance the Steelers and Antonio Brown could rectify the situation?
Yes, yes. Was it Chubbs? Chubbs was the former golfer who was advising Happy Gilmore, right? Remember when Happy goes to him and says...
You got me on that one.
Happy goes to Chubbs and he says, you're right, I'm wrong, you're smart, I'm stupid, you're handsome, I'm not very good looking. If Antonio Brown does that, then yeah, if he goes hat in hand and said, listen, the way I was acting, the things that I did walking away from the team week 17, I was wrong. I was wrong. Are there other things to discuss? Yes, but we start the conversation with, I apologize to you as owner of this franchise, a historically great franchise. I should not have left the team in the lurch in a must-win game. If you start there, then yes, it's a reparable relationship. I don't think it'll happen, but it is reparable if we start there.
Yeah, I agree to this reparable. I don't think it starts there. I kind of feel like the Steelers, not that they have to, I think Antonio is primarily to blame. But I do think this is more of the Steelers will come to him first and, you know, talk about, look, what are your major problems with this franchise? Why do you want out? You know, the reports were that Antonio didn't want to meet with them. And Rooney is pushing this meeting, and he's getting this meeting. The fact that they're meeting tells me it's repairable. I think Ben, as I said earlier, is a big part of this. I think that Antonio has to apologize himself, but I think for Antonio, Ben needs to do it first. And Ben's not blameless, so I think he should be able to come out first and apologize to Antonio man to man. Like, everything we see, Ben seems to like him. He just doesn't seem to be aware that either he treats people disrespectfully or he's perceived in that locker room, among some people at least, to treat people disrespectfully. So I think it's rectifiable, but Ben is a big part of it. And to your point, Antonio, I think if he gets an apology from Ben sincerely, then I think he will kind of own up to his own flaws.
I just, at some point, you got to swallow your pride. Like, Antonio Brown has handled this terribly. And, like, look, the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have to trade him.
Right.
They don't have to play him. They could sit over there. You know, they're going to have – he's got a guarantee in his contract. They don't have to dress him. They can sit there and pay him to not play in one of the last couple
– How realistic you think that is?
It's not terribly realistic, but if you think about it, if you're the Steelers, right, like, your options are trade him and take a massive cap hit, you know, or keep him and maybe he comes around, or maybe you keep him and hold him on and punish him, or you could also send him out to football Siberia. Like, if I'm them, I don't want him to send him to San Francisco.
Buffalo.
You know, yeah, Buffalo him. Buffalo his ass.
No, I get
that. Like,
someone
was told when you got Josh Allen, let's see your catch radius now.
Right.
When Josh Allen is throwing him 5 yards over your head and
behind
you.
You and Jenna always hating on Buffalo.
I get what you're saying.
Well, Buffalo's what Cleveland used to be.
You
right?
Just said to yourself, even though the Steelers are the team and they're, you know, they're the bigger entity in this, they don't have all the leverage. They do need to try. They have incentive to work this out. And not just because he's such a good player, but because, as you said, the cap hit, you're not going to get equal value and all those things. That's why I think both sides need to swallow some pride. And I do think, you know, things can be done differently.
The problem with it, this is like...
They're not just going strong army.
Look,
you better get in line. We're not trading you or we're going to punch. That's not going to work
No, but this is like a marriage where a guy has no prenup, right? And he's sitting there going like, look, could I cut it loose? Yeah, but I'm going to lose half my stuff. And then all of a sudden, I want to sleep in the same house as my kids every night of the week. Let me see if I can make this work. But let's not kid ourselves. He's the one who has done the most wrong in this relationship.
How much does the Le'Veon Bell situation and that fallout impact this?
I think in Antonio Brown's mind it impacts it. Unfortunately, it's the opposite
for
of
Pittsburgh,
it. Because
it's
the opposite of it because they gave in to Antonio Brown and reworked his contract not long ago, right? Like, you're getting paid at the top level.
He got the long-term deal.
He got the guaranteed money. Like, it may not be as player-friendly as he would like, but he got what Le'Veon Bell wanted. But I think in his mind, he's like, look, this is a problem with the Steelers. This is a problem with Ben. This is a problem with ownership and how you guys run things. That's why he lost Le'Veon, and that's why he lose me in his own mind. But you got to start with I was wrong.
He's not starting there.
If he doesn't, then this is not a reparable relationship.
Then what's going to happen?
It's like any fight with your wife.
I don't think you're wrong. They're the ones. Art Rooney is not begging, but he wants to meet with Antonio. If it wasn't, you think Art Rooney thinks Antonio's going to go in there and the first thing out of his mouth is going to be, look, I'm sorry, it's my fault? I think Art Rooney knows that's not going to be the case. He wants to say something to Antonio. So I think eventually it could get there. It should get there with Antonio apologizing, but I don't think that's the first
step. Do you think Ben feels any accountability for the situation?
Do I think he feels it?
Yeah.
No, but do I think he's responsible? Yes.
If he's got any degree of self-awareness, and maybe he doesn't, then he should at least recognize, yeah, I've done some things wrong. And you're right. Antonio is primarily to blame.
Right.
I'm just saying Ben should recognize that, yeah, maybe I have done some things wrong. Maybe I haven't accepted some responsibility for some of the things that go wrong with the team.
Yeah. Do I think he reasonably thinks there's some things I could have done better? Sure. But this guy's been acting a fool. Like, let's not Airing your grievances on Twitter is not the place to do it. Liking things on Instagram, which go back a decade into your the worst moments of your quarterback's life, like it's not the forum to do it. You know, we all have each other's cell phone number. Pick up the phone and call. And Mike Tomlin has pointed out time and again that he has not gotten a call from his wide receiver. You can be as mad as you want at Ben. You can be mad as you want at the world. But when you no-show on your head coach, on your team, week 17, a must-win game against a division rival, the first thing you have to do is pick up the phone and say, my bad, I was wrong. He hasn't done that. He has the opportunity to do so. And unless he does, this is an irreparable relationship.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Before we let you go, we have a quick word from Spotify. Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolutions. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including Oprah's Super Soul Conversations, The Tim Ferriss Show, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, and The Nutrition Diva, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and how to feel balanced while meditating. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even go download episodes for those times that you're trying to go off the grid, you know, to get all that newfound balance into your life. So start the year off right with podcasts on Spotify. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Before we let you go, we have a quick word from Spotify.